listening, Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and joining me in the audience are two gentlemen that I'm really excited about this show tonight, and I want you to be as well. In fact, I want you to call in and join the conversation. The call-in number here is 610-758-8810. Tonight's show is about trends, and we're looking at trends, what has happened in 2012 and where we're headed in 2013 in the weather and in business. What's happening around the Lehigh Valley, and how do the two impact each other, and where are we going? And I'm so excited. I have John McGrand here this evening from Lehigh Valley Business. He's the editor, and I have Bill Kirk, who's the founder of and CEO of Weather Trends International. Bill, welcome back.
Good to have you. Good, thanks.
It's been 2 years. It's hard to believe that it's been 2 years in December that you
know, we were talking about a bad winter that year, and I think we might be talking about the same thing this time.
So. Okay, so listen up, and you'll hear more from Bill. John, welcome. This is your first time on WDIY, correct?
Thanks, Sally. Yeah, I'm the new kid on the block here. I've only been in town since May.
That's right. So, John, why don't you share a little bit of your background with our listeners, and then I'll ask Bill to do the same thing, and then we'll get into the trends and what you saw and what you're seeing.
My background is about as eclectic as Bill and I mixed together here tonight. I have a journalism degree. I've been the editor of four national publications, several fitness and diet publications, a tabloid, which is a fodder for another show. I worked for newspapers and online and print. And then this past May, I came down to Lehigh Valley to become the editor of what was then the Eastern Pennsylvania Business Journal. And we made the transition May 7th to Lehigh Valley Business. That's where I am at right now.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Valley. I'm glad you're here, and you've done some nice work with the way the paper has changed over the past year or so. So thank you.
It's been dramatic. Thank you.
Yes. Bill, as I said, welcome back. But I think maybe our listeners need to be a little updated about you and your background. So,
well, again, Bill Kirk, I went to Rutgers, got my degree in meteorology, so I do know a thing or two about the weather. Spent 4 years active duty in the United States Air Force, so I was Captain Kirk. So that makes me a Captain Kirk and a meteorologist. So, yes, I've heard all the jokes on both sides of the fence there. So, in fact, I even sponsored William Shatner at the State Theater.
Did you
last
really?
Month. So that was awesome. I got to meet him. That's like a bucket list item. So I actually met Shatner last month. But basically today we do year-ahead weather forecasting for the world on a very detailed scale, and we help businesses like Walmart, Target, AutoZone plan how much inventory they will need for next year based on what the weather's likely to do to their sales.
And Weather Trends has been around since?
Technology's been around for about 20 years, back in the 1989 when me and several guys invented it, but in business for the last 10 years.
10 years. It's been 10 years. Yep. Wow. I remember when I first saw you coming to town with that. Oh, boy, time goes fast. Let's focus first on 2012. And I'm going to let John talk a little bit about the business environment, because it has not been business as usual since 2008. Things have definitely been different. But this last year, did you see anything, based on your varied experience with journalism and business, anything unusual, different challenges that you saw face our business community? What would you share?
The biggest challenges I saw, well, I was part of, was turning our paper into a new entity, going from Eastern Pennsylvania Business Journal to Lehigh Valley Business, getting the community to respond to us, which it has greatly. The trends I've seen down here in the Lehigh Valley, because I'm not from Lehigh Valley originally, I'm from up in Luzerne County, is that there's been slow, steady growth in several sectors, which is a good sign as we're heading towards the end of the year, and we'll get into later with the fiscal cliff stuff. It looks like things are starting to turn a corner as far as housing and things like that. And things that I encountered that surprised me were, despite such a high unemployment rate, there are several sectors that need workers badly and don't have enough, including manufacturing. Manufacturing across the nation is like 500,000 short of quality workers. And I just recently was reading the IT profession. People who are up to date in IT professionals will make big money. Companies will be churning out a lot of money for them this year because, first of all, because technology changes so fast, they have to keep on top of things. A lot of workers, you know, fall behind. But there's a gap in the IT sector and a gap in manufacturing. So people need to start funneling energy into bringing people into those sectors. So the unemployment rate will drop considerably because there's between the two of them, there's well over 500,000 jobs out there.
Well, I think probably what's happened to most is the trend in the past was be once you learned a career, you could pretty much stay with what your knowledge was and you didn't have to change a whole lot. That's not the same anymore.
That's not the case. And what's interesting, I've worked with local colleges, Northampton and Lehigh for two. And colleges, we're going to be doing an education special come January, and the big label will be major changes, major meaning college. Mm-hmm. Colleges are, you know, people are getting away from, in a lot of areas, the four-year degrees and going into technology in areas that you can go get like a two-year degree and get right into a good-paying job in the areas I just spoke about. It's no longer the usual go for 4 years at a college, go a lot into debt. You can actually get through in a couple of years and go right into a $40,000-some a year job after a two-year degree and work your way up where the average salary in manufacturing is in the 60,000s. And the colleges know that, and they're working with local corporations. Local corporations know the colleges can help them. They're putting funneling money into the colleges to make the programs that will get people educated and skilled to come out and take these jobs, because manufacturing isn't what people think about, like the old Bethlehem Steel days in the dirty environment. My father worked there for 30 years, and I remember his clothes coming home dirty. My mom had to wash them. But now a lot of it is very clean, and it's really skilled, and a lot of math science is needed.
Yeah. So okay, good. So you're seeing that there's positive growth, maybe slow growth that has occurred over 2012, and in a couple of sectors still really needing a lot of people as we're ending this year, correct?
Yes, a lot of good signs heading towards the end of the year. Now could come the curveball that could send us back the other way.
Well, we'll talk about fiscal cliff later. Bill, how about weather? I mean, you predict a year out. Has there been anything happening in 2012 that was sort of unpredictable or that was a cycle that was typical or atypical?
Actually, again, what we look for is we've done a lot of research on recessions, and, you know, because we're all about the business side of weather. So we forecast, you know, seasonal supply for coats, sweaters, gloves, air conditioners, you know, for the retail customers that we support. But also you can study it from an economic perspective. If you look at 2008, for example, we had a completely out of sync weather year. What do we mean by that? We had a cold, rainy, snowy spring. You don't buy the spring merchandise you would ordinarily buy, followed by a cold, really wet summer. You don't need the air conditioner. You don't drink as much. So then we had a really record hot fall and then a record brutal winter, cold winter. So you had a completely out of sync year, meaning the consumer wasn't buying anything. They really didn't need new spring clothes. It was cold. You mm-hmm. know, they were wearing partly winter stuff. Mm-hmm. Summertime, okay, they bought a little bit of stuff maybe in late spring, but not. They didn't need the air conditioner. So it leads to recessionary environments when you have a year that's completely out of sync. Now, those are rare, but they do happen, like 08. Now, you have other catalysts on top of that, the housing crisis and, you know, whatnot. That creates an even, you know, obviously a very deep recession. In 2012, we had exactly the opposite. We had a perfect weather year. We had a record hot spring in the March. Phenomenal for retail sales. Retail sales went through the roof in March. We were buying everything under the sun. If you look at some of the peak sales week for even air conditioners, they occurred in the March-April heat wave when it was 90 degrees, right? So we're buying air conditioners in April, and we normally don't buy those till July.
Now, that's normal, though. So you're saying
that was abnormal.
That was abnormal.
Extremely
okay.
abnormal
oh,
last
okay.
year. Abnormal on the good side from the thing that happened last year was just abnormal positively for the economy.
Okay.
So extremely
right.
warm spring, really warm summer. One of the coldest falls in 10 years, September, October, November. We had a mild start here to December, which was good for gifts and store traffic. You know, so we've had this perfect scenario weather-wise for retailers, and they've had extremely strong sales.
Yeah.
So that benefits the supply chain, the retailers. So everyone won this year, even housing starts. Why? Housing starts are not surprising. When you have warm, dry weather starting all winter long, we had no winter last year, they were able to go through the season building homes. So people are employed then, right?
Right.
You can look at every phase of the economy. I think our Commerce Secretary years ago said that one-third of our GDP is weather-sensitive. That's the number keeps going up, but $5 trillion of our economy is weather-sensitive. So it's a huge, huge part of the equation.
So with the weather being that unusual for us here on the East Coast, was that typical throughout the globe?
Well, no, not on a global scale. I mean, again, you always be careful what here happened, you know, locally. I mean, like Germany, for example, Europe has just had one. Russia, I just read today, we've projected the coldest start to winter in 70 years. You know, so it's been frigid in Russia and Germany and, you know, Europe. I mean, they even had sub-zero temperatures, which is just unheard
Already.
Of. So that, unfortunately, is coming our way, soon. Again, 2013, 2012 was just one of those perfect scenarios. We can say that it was a huge lift to our clients, suppliers, retailers, Wall Street, you know, financial side of the businesses. Everyone
good to come back. Yeah, everybody started coming back, and good. Okay, so now we're going to flip to your crystal balls that each of you have for what's coming in the future. And the first thing, John, we've mentioned it a couple times, is fiscal cliff. And in some cases, I think this thing has been blown out of proportion and that it's not as big a deal. But then I also hear some other things from some of my fellow business owners and, you know, the impacts could be tremendous. What do you interpret as you look at the news and you see what's happening and bring all that to the Lehigh Valley business?
Well, every day seems to be a new scare, and I think a lot of what you said is true. I think a lot of it's perception. Why is there a fiscal cliff? Why can't our government just go in and make changes to policy and say, okay, we're going to get rid of this one and do this or that? It's like a game of statesmanship right now, one-upmanship, and it's getting scary because we're down to the last 2 weeks here. And I don't think either scenario, whether they come into an agreement or they don't, I think is worse for people like us, because we're the ones going to be nailed with that average $3,500 a year or more in taxes, which I don't know about you, but I don't want to be coming up with $300 more a month. That's just not palatable. Businesses, we've seen trends like businesses, if you notice, we're giving out dividends before the end of the year because they're afraid some of these fiscal cliff changes are going to, you know, be taxes on things like that, higher taxes. A lot of businesses are holding off on hiring to see what's going to happen with this. If we go over the cliff before they make changes, you're going to see, I think, things are going to stagnate because businesses aren't going to invest the money because they're going to be getting hit harder in taxes and stuff. I mean, even if they do make these agreements that Obama's trying to do, the Democrats and versus Republicans, it's like us and them. It seems like it can't be. They can't work together for some reason. You know, it's going to take a while to get back on track. Like I said before, things seem to be chugging slowly and steadily upward, but now I think they're going to level off and maybe even decline until all this settles. You know, we go over the cliff like lemmings with our politicians, and hopefully things will get back on track and people who should be taxed get taxed and people like us should get a break.
Well, I know one of the things as a small business owner that I've seen happening over 2012, which this fiscal cliff I think could even impact greater, and that is it's been taking, like, the people that I work for longer to make the decision to hire me. And so it's like 2 to 3 times longer than it was prior to 2008. You know, things have slowly, you know, crept up. But I anticipate that because of this uneasiness with where we are in the cliff and in the position, that everybody's just going to stretch it out even longer.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's like if people are going to wait to make decisions. You know, normally you start the year, you think, okay, I'm going to have this workforce in place. I'm going to hire people. Right now, you might not do that. And not even just for the cliff, but, you know, the medical care, those costs, the businesses are looking at that. I know.
Absolutely.
I know. I think Bill has a horror story about that one. You know, it's like it's tougher for businesses to pay these costs. And I don't know how much, you know, more load can be put on their shoulders because they're the people that are leading small businesses, especially like you. They're the ones leading the charge back, and now you're going to hit them, and it's going to be a while. And then by the time the dust settles, hopefully we can get back on track, and hopefully the weather will be back on track with us, and we can get going in the right direction again.
Okay, so Bill, is this fiscal cliff icy, slippery as we head into January with the weather trends?
Well, I worked with a leading economist in New York City. That was Mike Namara, Bank of Tokyo, Mitsubishi, really brilliant man. And we went back and specifically looked at recessions and depressions. And not to say that the weather created them, but they are catalysts to make weak recessions worse. Bad recessions like 08, really bad. So we have an out-of-sync year, unfortunately, planned for 2013. We think it's going to be a really cold, snowy late winter spring, probably starting here on the East Coast right after Christmas or thereabouts, but nonstop, you know, early January, late January, early February, much of March, cold, rainy, snowy. You're not going to be thinking spring like you were last year. So we can already predict that Q1 sales, you know, quarter one sales. Are going to be atrocious. Now, it's a double whammy. They had extraordinarily strong sales this year, phenomenal weather. This year they have horrible weather. The lift will be a negative. They could actually have negative sales. So there'll be a little bit of a panic, I think, come that early part of the year saying, what happened? Our sales are off. You know, well, because last year was so incredibly good. Then we have a kind of cold, wet summer out of sync for no air conditioner sales. We had record sales this year and next to none. You know, I mean, they'll have a huge decline next year. And then we, you know, we see a couple good months maybe around October. So maybe a bright spot for some cold weather and fall merchandise sales in October, but then a warm November and then probably a recordly cold, brutal December next year. So it's an out of sync, you know, like only about 10 out of 12 months are favorable to retail sales. Two are good, 10 are bad. That's an 08 pattern. So that typically leads us to complete too much inventory, not selling enough, panic markdowns. Now, great for you as a consumer, you might find some great bargains on some merchandise, but not good for the economy.
But on the other hand, the ski resorts, the snow removal guys,
there's always a benefit to somebody, right? I mean, but the overall broad economy, you know, which we all live in, it's not a good scenario. So yeah, certainly niche, you know, small business can do well. Others won't.
Okay. All right. So 2008, somewhat of a repeat this year, pretty parallel.
Well, it's interesting. So again, we have, yes, almost very parallel from a weather perspective. Again, you throw in this fiscal cliff uncertainty, and whether it's the fiscal cliff, we may solve that problem, and then, oh, by the way, Europe falls off a cliff, right?
Yeah, so it's international.
It's a global economy, unfortunately. So even in Asia right now, China is starting to talk about weak, you know, all of a sudden growth. So what happens if those two, we may actually survive the cliff, and then they collapse or, you know, have a downward. So there's just a lot of, I think it's a very risky year, like 08. So it'd only take one little hiccup somewhere to create another recession.
Interesting. John, when you're looking for trends for business, I mean, you mentioned employees and employment levels, but when you're trying to look for the articles and figure out what's going on currently in the Lehigh Valley or nationally, what are some of the things that you look towards that maybe some of our listeners could sort of keep their eye on too and do their own predicting as to, you know, well, this is happening, you know, the combination?
Well, one of the things I look for are the many experts in the Valley in the various organizations who come to me, speak to me, and are very open, like the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation is a great source to give insight into what's coming up. We have all these, the Industrial Authority, the number of vacancies. You see things like one of the trends to look at is this area is huge for warehousing because it's a great location. We have a bunch of new ones that are being built, plus this year a huge spec one was built at the Majestic Park here in Bethlehem, and it's, I think Crayola took most of the building. So things like that show that the company, now granted, there's not a lot of jobs with warehousing, but it's showing that companies are investing their money and growing. Maybe they're growing their inventory and things like that, because for a stretch there, you know, people, inventory was drying up. People were basically building things to order because you didn't want to be, nobody was buying. Right. So I think that's a trend that's reversing. But we deal with the Lehigh Valley Realtors Association, and we find out about inventory, and we do a monthly report. We have we go around the six counties in the area, find out what's, you know, selling, the average price, and that price has been going up, inventory's been going down. So on paper, things look good in that area, which means there's money. Then there was the report that came out recently about the jobs trends and how it's expected 130,000 new jobs. Now that looks great at the number, but then you look at, that's not till 2040, or between now and 2040, but the area
2040,
yeah. Huh. So but
I can,
mean,
have my job.
We can't have it all at one time. We don't have the infrastructure. So those are the type of things that you look at. And but like I said, I rely on the experts in the various areas. And luckily there's a lot of them, and we are the only business publication in town, so I get to talk to all these people. They
okay.
come to me.
Okay. Listeners, stay with us. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Cedar Crest College School of Adult and Graduate Education Master of Education Program. Continue your education with an MED in early childhood or secondary education, or in the art of teaching for certified teachers. More information at sage.cedarcrest.edu. sage.cedarcrest.edu.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And we're talking about trends this evening. We're talking about trends in weather. We're talking about trends in business here in the Lehigh Valley. And if you would like to make a comment or share an observation, you're welcome to give us a call at 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. And my guests this evening are John McRand, who is editor of Lehigh Valley Business, and Bill Kirk, who is founder and CEO of Weather Trends. And before our break, we were talking to John a little bit about what he looks for as he tries to figure out what the business trends are. Bill, you have over 100 years of information. You know, how do you pull? I mean, we don't need the logarithm, but I mean, what are some of the things that help contribute to that?
Well, again, our process is not Ed Hanna. I love Ed Hanna on WFMZ. We're not using traditional meteorology to predict the next year. It doesn't work, right? I mean,
right.
The
predict the next day.
Yeah. So, well, you know, hey, Ed's pretty good, you know. So, but no, it's more of a statistics, math, climate cycle approach. So we look for long term trends. Or a specific ocean, for example, has gone through a very cold recent phase. It was in a warm phase from 76 to 06. We had global warming. You know, planet got warmer. But it went cold in 06. And all of a sudden, we've had record northern hemispheric snowfall five of the last six winters. Not last winter, but, you know, five of the six since then. We're going to see it this winter returning again. So you look at that 30-year Pacific cycle. There's a 20-year Atlantic Ocean cycle. There's solar cycles that are 10, 11 years. You know, you can line all those things up and kind of get a sense that we're in a pattern right now that's very much similar to the 1950s, 1970s. Well, those were some really cold, snowy, brutal winters.
Were fun as a kid.
Yeah. So again, as a kid, today's kids are going to start to – and again, we forget. Last winter, we had no snow. But the previous three or four winters, we had a lot of snow here in Lehigh Valley. So it's definitely a above average type year that we're seeing. Because, again, you just line up those cycles in the past are great predictors of the future.
We just turned to Bill. Bill's in our current issue of Lehigh Valley Business. We quoted him because that scare report came out about the ski industry and all the associated winter industries are going to be collapsing and losing money because of global warming. But Bill, and I knew Bill had said this during our warm up a while back that we're not going that way. So we brought him in to say, hey, this it's not as scary as they're saying it is. In fact, we're on track and we're doing well. It's getting colder. So that was that, you know, made me feel
better.
We've
seen a cycle, right? We all remember like the late 90s where there was two, three years a row of no snow in the Northeast, and you know, Killington was complaining, you know, Blue Mountain, everyone was, you know, panicked that this was global warming. Well, then all of a sudden, now here recently in the last, you know, since 2006, even 2005, we had a brutal winter, 05-06. When the Pacific Ocean cycle changes, it's not coincidental that all of a sudden we saw the snow return, and it was way above average for 4 or 5 years in a row, and then last year was an anomaly. There's a lot of reasons why. We actually had cold water off our Atlantic coast last winter that actually was a inhibiting factor to no snow here. If you have
warm winter
hitting cold water is no catalyst for storms, whereas this year it's totally opposite. We actually have warm waters off our immediate east coast. So you have warm water, cold air hitting it. That's why we've already had two nor'easters, right? I mean, the waters off the Atlantic right now I think are running 10, 12 Fahrenheit warmer than last year.
Oh.
Well, that's why we had a Sandy. That's why we had the snowstorm that hit, we had a couple hinges here in the valley, but we had upwards of, 5 to 10 inches in New York and Connecticut. So we're seeing a pattern that would be very conducive to a lot of nor'easters.
Why is it? I mean, if you look back over history, I mean, there was the Ice Age. The world has always gone through these cycles, but we seem to be saying global warming when it's just a cycle.
Well, really no one's saying global warming now because even the IPCC, they're just coming out with their AR5, their fifth assessment report they're working on. In fact, it was interesting. I have a chart here that shows the big thing about global warming was the carbon sensitivity of the planet. Carbon is a necessary thing to keep us alive on the planet. It's also, it's pollution. So the question is how much is enough? And what they just came in and said all these computer models that try to predict global warming were saying we'd be between 0.8 Celsius and 1.5 Celsius above average right now. We're not. We're only, as of today, the global temperature today for the whole year is 0.157 Celsius above average, 0.15, one-tenth of 1 degree. Okay? Most instrumentation on the planet, your own backyard thermometer, right?
Yeah, it doesn't go that
Can't long. Go that accurate. So you're talking statistical noise in some regards. Now, not to say that there isn't certain areas are warming quicker than others, but, the net-net is that, we are going to see, it's 0.15°C. People say that even if you had the most dire prediction of, you know, 1 or 2 degrees over 100 years, we're still going to buy coats. We're still going to probably go skiing. It's not to say that there won't be bad years and good years, but it's not like all snow will cease to exist because of a 1 degree change over 100 years. You know,
yeah.
So we tend to lose sight of the reality and the, you know, get into the hysteria of, oh, my, there'll never be snow again.
It's, you know? I hate to throw the media under the bus, but we love a good headline. And, you know, of course, global warming is like the planet's warming and all this is going to happen. And everybody jumps on it. I mean, I worked for the tabloids. I know what.
Well, see, now they changed the headline from global warming because, see, they can't. Even IPC came out and said, we think there's going to be a 20-year cooling trend because of the Pacific Ocean cycle I talked about.
Right.
And the Atlantic will go cold in 5 years for 20 years. So you'll have two cold bodies of water that represent 50, 60% of the world, right? When both are cold, we have ice ages. We get cold. We get snowy. We have 50s and 70s. 1950s, 1970s all over again. So
how many next years?
Well, 5 years, the Atlantic Ocean should go into its cold cycle.
In 5 years, it will.
So the Pacific will still be only in, you know, it'll have 20 more years in the Pacific. You'll have 20 years in the Atlantic. So we're saying 2017 and beyond, those are going to be some brutal.
Cold.
Kids are going to love those winters.
Are you saying buy coats now?
Yeah, hey, they're probably on sale right now because it's been so warm this beginning of December. But
Weather impacts everybody. You know, we're talking about it in the elevators up and down. We're talking about it, you know, to our neighbors. And, of course, we're always saying that the forecasters have the best job ever because they never have to be right. But what are some of the different ways that people have contacted you, Bill, to use, you know, the year advance weather knowledge to help them? I know we talked before when you were here about people planning weddings and vacations, but for businesses, is there any unique business that has tapped your resources or that you've shared?
Well, everyone says they love their jobs, and, you know, when you have a business, you love what you do, hopefully. We have awesome clients, you know, Walmart, Target, AutoZone, you name a Anheuser-Busch beer. We drink more beer with the hotter it is, you know, just the Pepsi, Coke, you know, Coca-Cola is a client. Some of the neat ones are just like things you wouldn't even think about, like mouse traps. I caught two of them in my house, you know, recently. Mice come indoors when it gets really cold.
Right.
So the colder it gets, the more mice come inside. So mouse traps have about a 25, for every degree colder, they will sell 25% more mouse traps. Now, the way we know that is we look at mouse trap sales at Walmart or Target or wherever they sell mouse traps, analyze it against past weather in the past, and then you can predict the future of not just the weather. So I'll give you an example. This week's going to be like 10 degrees colder here in the Lehigh Valley. It's going to be the coldest last 10 days of December in a decade. So really, really cold. It's coming
okay.
up.
So, all right.
Below normal, coldest in 10 years, 10 degrees colder than last year. If we apply it against some of these rules of thumb, so like a mousetrap, it's about 25% per degree. That's a 250% increase in mousetrap sales the next 10 days. Now, if you're Reckitt Benckiser, a German-based company, and you don't know that, you'll stock out. You'll miss the opportunity. Whereas if you do know it, you can plan for it, have more inventory, get your advertising in sync. Neat things, like take snow accessories. I mean, those are going to go through there. We think it will be about 3 to 6+ inches. There's actually models hinting at 18 inches here. We'll see. I don't buy that. But say 3 to 6 inches here in December, that's a 1,000% increase in snow accessories. 240% increase in electric blanket sales. It's about a 24% per every degree. Portable heaters, it's about 10% per degree colder. So 10% times 10 is a 100% increase in heater sales. So if you don't, things like coats, about a 25% increase. Coffee, we drink Starbucks coffee. Every degree colder, about 2% more coffee. You don't even realize you're doing it. That's what's so neat about it is that, you know, you'll get the 32 ounce instead of the 16 ounce, right? So it's just more consumption, and you don't even know that you're doing it. You know, because last year when it was hot, you didn't drink as much coffee.
Right.
You know, now there's always the stable base of people that drink their coffee every day, but you have 2 cups or 3 cups or 4 cups. In part, it might be the weather.
I'd be on the ceiling, but well, you know, it was speaking of coffee, it was really interesting that when we had Hurricane Sandy and, you know, no power, when power first came back on, everybody headed to Wawa and Dunkin' Donuts
there
to get
lines,
their yes, lines going
fights,
wrapping around the
lines
building
over coffee.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, it's fascinating. I've been in journalism for 30 years and covering business for the last 8 months, and I never thought of the connections with the weather, other than, like Bill said earlier, with the housing could work over the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like to hear this stuff is fascinating. It inspires my tabloid mind to think about the mousetraps, the beer when he mentioned
how. You see it all the time. Just the other day I was watching, it was 60 degrees here in early December, mm-hmm. our heat wave, you know, 60, 70 degrees. They were advertising Interstate Auto batteries. Batteries, you don't buy an ad, hey, I see an ad for a battery, I'm going to go buy one. No, you buy a battery because it failed in your car.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, here in the Lehigh Valley, you have to be about 10 degrees in the morning to kill weak batteries. You know, so anybody's got a weak battery out there, well, you know, this next week we might get into the teens, you can start to have failures. That's the time to run the auto battery thing. You know, my battery just died the morning. Oh, last night I saw that Interstate auto battery commercial. That's, you remember the ad, you then can go buy it when you need it, not, again, it's not
You're not going to remember it. There's too much going on
so
in our minds to.
3 weeks ago, we're not going to even remember there was an interstate, you know, and we see all the time.
So when they say business runs hot or cold, that's really hit.
Well, Campbell's Soup does an awesome job with this, right? You always see, just how did they know it's going to be so cold? And I'm seeing soup sales. You know, there's about a 2%, every degree colder, we buy 2% more soup. So this week, we'll buy 20% more soup. We don't even know we're doing it, but we will do it. So it's Campbell's Soup.
I did that last week. Yes.
We'll see their soup sales go up.
Yeah. It's really fascinating about how all this does work together, John. I mean, just, I know when Bill was on last time, I was so fascinated with what he was talking about, I hardly knew what to ask him because I just was so engrossed in it.
Just let him go sometimes. Yeah, wind him up and let him go because it's all good.
Bill, what are some of the other interesting facts that you had mentioned? Gender related differences at one point with weather and who does what and you did mention the 1 degree changes, but
it's interesting actually. If you look at things like shorts, right? I don't know about in your household, but you know, typically the woman in the household wants the thermostat set at 75, and the man wants it set at 65, right? I mean, we have this battle of the heat in the house. Women will actually go out and buy shorts and spring sandals and flip-flops. They'll buy that stuff when it's still pretty cold in the spring. They'll buy it much sooner than men, which is odd because, again, you think that you're colder usually than men. You know, it's just kind of human nature.
We react.
So that's a first little minor spring warm-up. It doesn't have to be very warm, and you will go out and buy some of that seasonal spring merchandise. Mm-hmm. Men, we're reactive animals. We wait until, oh my gosh, it's July, it's 90, I need shorts. We react that way. Now, the only benefit to shorts for men is that usually the spouse buys shorts. So Father's Day is a big shorts week. But so it's interesting how now women tend to buy, you know, more often than not for the children. So you'll see children's spring merchandise and women's merchandise move together, same kind of weather. Whereas men, you'll be buying shorts like crazy in the early in the spring, and men's short sales are way off. No one's buying them yet. So, again, not until it gets really hot that we react.
Then we start looking for them in August, and the fall stuff is out.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you can't get to it.
Animals. Been there, done that.
John, you had mentioned, you know, the change in Eastern Pennsylvania Business Journal to Lehigh Valley Business. What were some of the major changes that you and Troy helped to sort of orchestrate as you began to transition that paper to what it is today, what we're seeing today?
Well, we started the changes right when I was coming here. I came in the end of April and took over May 7th, which was the launch of Lehigh Valley Business. And not only did we launch the new look, the newly branded publication. We've been in print down here for 20-some years. It was just bought out by Journal Multimedia of Harrisburg at the end of last year. And they wanted, right away, they knew they wanted to change it to look like their Central Penn Business Journal and their New Jersey Biz. So the three papers have a similar identity. So our biggest thing was to bring more local input in. When I came in and looked at it, I saw a lot of syndicated stuff, lot more fluff maybe. I was told from our higher up management that we should be aimed at business decision makers, not the people like not myself who goes out and, you know, whatever and would buy stuff from a business, but the people that are making decisions on business. So our biggest thing was to gear up, launched a new look, which for me wasn't that tough because I've done publications before and I know what I want and I was able to get it. We also launched our LVB.com website, which includes a daily email blast, which gives the day's headlines local. And then we have our regional, and then we have national and international. And that has turned us, because we're a weekly publication, the print. So it's hard to have breaking news, even though we've done it and we've tried. But now with this daily email, we're up to like over 10,000 subscribers to that, which mirrors what our print is now. But that's growing, and we're trying to grow the print more. But we don't want to grow the print too much because we're aimed at corporate decision makers, so we don't want to get to like where everybody in town wants to get it, because they won't get anything out of it. But we, this daily email is really taking off, and we're going to be expanding it. We're actually going to be putting a new, what they call skin, a new look on it come early this year. We're going to add blogs, which I have two full-time writers, one researcher, and one writer slash online person. The five of us are going to take a day a week and do a blog on a different subject matter, and we're going to build that up. So that'll get us more into what traditional websites are these days. So our biggest challenge, not only was it that, we did all that right my first week here, hit the ground running,
wow.
But convincing our friends in our surrounding counties that we're not just covering Lehigh Valley, which traditionally is Northampton to Lehigh, which is Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton. We still cover Berks. We always did. And in fact, I think some weeks we cover Berks more than we cover Lehigh and Northampton. So the biggest thing is now we cover parts of eight counties, is keeping these people in the mix.
Engaged,
and
yeah.
Knowing that Lehigh Valley Business is a name. We're actually greater Lehigh Valley is what I like to say is what we cover. And we've done a good job. At first, there were a couple of people that called in and said, I'm going to unsubscribe because I'm down here in Reading and you're not going to cover me. And I convinced them. And a lot of what I do really well at is when people call up like that, I end up getting them to contribute a story or, you know, whatever. And then they love us and they'll become part of us. So I've opened the door for – I actually wrote a column recently on 10 ways – you can get promoted in our paper. If you can't get your business promoted in our paper, then you're doing something wrong. We offer 10 different ways. Traditional reporter calling you as a source, but I offer things like we have our weekly list, which lists like businesses, different professions, and that. We do behind the list where we'll pick one of the organizations and we'll feature a person there. We do FYI, which is if your business has an award or something, you can get a blurb. And we do newsmakers if you get promoted or if you hire somebody, we'll put that in. We launched a great thing, which is really taken off, which is called Off the Clock, which is pictures of events, ribbon cuttings, check presentations. Really wasn't much room for that before because we're cut into three sections. The front section is the news, then we get into a little bit of op-ed, and then the middle section is our focus, our weekly focus, which upcoming is economic development for January 7th, and then so on throughout the year. Then the back is all the things like liens and business transactions, and it's a lot of interesting stuff, but it really fills up pages. So we offer the pictures. We never had a place for photos of things like these fun things or
the volunteer efforts.
Volunteer.
Yeah.
And now we're actually up to where we're running. We can easily run spreads each week now. We're 24 pages, but I wouldn't be surprised to see us grow bigger in 2013. I thought we might go digital and do online and emails, and the president assured me when I was hired that we'll get bigger print-wise before we go away. So Lehigh Valley Business is going to get bigger and better in 2013. And our online is going to grow more.
Okay. And the other thing that you've done is you're celebrating a lot of different business achievements through your awards and recognition programs.
That's huge. We've always had like one or two events, like an expo over at the Agplex in Allentown. And we just recently had Business of the Year, which was at Steel Stacks.
I heard
and
it was excellent. I didn't get a chance to go
We
to
had
that,
over but. 300 people, and we have like seven events planned for 2013. We have an events planner, and they find a great location. We're looking at the Sands possibly for a future one. We get presenters. We put on a great show. We have great catering, great food, and it's a big deal. The Business of the Year was like a black tie affair, and it's going to get bigger and better. And this company is first class all the way.
Yeah.
You know, they spend a lot of money on this stuff, and it's fantastic to have. We call it the power of three. We have print, we have online, and we have events, and that's how you can be part of us and come along for the ride.
Right. And one other thing I want to mention while we're still talking about some of the changes, you are encouraging people to write articles and to send them to you as well, correct?
Only thing I ask people is I usually, if I talk to somebody in a different profession, I'll try to get them to provide tips and advice. And all I ask is that it is news that people can use rather than a slightly veiled ad for your business. And then I'll put your picture in and I'll put a little at the bottom, your name and your business. And then people, if you give them good advice, they're going to come to you. I have so many now. I started out with none. And now I have like a backlog that some weeks I kind of stress because I'm like, people gave me this story like a month ago and I got to find room for it. People in the Valley are great. Why feature a nationally syndicated person when I can have somebody from Allentown writing about construction or about manufacturing or PR? PR, marketing. And the device is local because it matters because this is a local market, Greater Lehigh Valley.
Well, and I think so often we tend to think that the experts are outside the valley and they're not in the valley.
People,
just
yeah.
like this guy here, you know, weather trends. I mean, your business really was, I guess, wooed to go out to Silicon Valley at one point, correct?
Yep.
And you've stayed here and
thrived. Well, my home, and I love this area. So, again, and there's great talent here. There's Rutgers, Penn State, Millersville University, great weather schools, academic weather schools. So it's a good area for us, actually. There's no weather schools in Silicon Valley, so no need to go there.
People always I think it's human nature. You always assume that somebody from elsewhere is smarter because I guess you get used to people. You know them. So you don't think of them as being experts. But we have the medical profession, obviously, is huge in this area. They have world-renowned experts at work here. People send cases from around the world here for treatment. When I was young in Hazleton, even if somebody got sick up by Hazleton, they would say, don't go to the Hazleton Hospital. Send them down to Lehigh Valley because they knew then, even in our area, that this area had good health care, and it's only gotten better. And that is the sector that's growing down here, the biggest. But there are, I'm happy to say, good writers, too. They can write a good article. Whether they have somebody helping them at the office is one thing, but I don't have to do a lot of work on them, and it's great to get that advice out there.
Yeah, that's terrific. I'm glad that you're doing that and offering that to us. Now, Bill, last time you were here, 2 years ago, you were just launching a consumer site. What's happened with it evolved?
It was weathertrends360.com. I say the short is WT360.com. But we now have mobile apps, Android, Kindle Fire, iPhone. It's all free. Website's free. You just give us an email, and we never sell your email. So email to get the website, free iPhone apps, year-ahead weather, global weather, lightning, radar, snowstorm alerts via email and all. So, it's been a hit, and we're on several television stations now, Travel Channel and Fox. So they're doing, monthly segments. We're always talking about, we'll be talking about spring break right now. Where's the best place to go for spring break? If you're a college kid on, winter break, you're probably already starting to think about that. So we can help with that, right? Because where else do you get a March detailed forecast? Last year we said don't go to Florida because of all the rain. It poured. It was wettest in 20 years.
Well, the mobile app is... sorry, guys. We have to take a break. I didn't listen to Ray. But we're taking a short break.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side presenting Christmas City Follies 13. Directed by J.P. Jordan, created and performed by the Touchstone Ensemble. This annual classic, yet again, reimagines what the holidays are all about with music, wit, and holiday hijinks. November 29th to December 22nd. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
And you're back with Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and my guests are Bill Kirk from Weather Trends and John McGran from Lehigh Valley Business. And we're talking about trends past and trends future and things that have been happening in their businesses. And before our brief break, I was so engrossed. Bill was talking about some of the changes with the consumer applications that are now available. And so if I want to get a mobile app, I just go to the App Store.
Yeah, the iTunes App Store for the iPhones, mm-hmm. You go to your Android store to get your Android app. It's free. You have a Kindle Fire. You can get it's WT360 Pro is a paid version, which just means it doesn't have ads, and a WT360 Lite just means it's got a little ad at the bottom. Same app, but, we're used to that, right? So if you want free, you're going to tolerate the little ad at the bottom. But it's neat. If you're even just a small business, say you're a Rita's Italian Ice, and it's a cold, snowy, rainy spring, summer, looks stormy. What do you do now we mm-hmm. don't buy as much Italian ice in a cold, rainy, snowy summer. So they can come out with maybe a promotional. Stand in the rain, get $1 off. Do convince me now to do something I ordinarily won't do. I'm not going to get Italian ice on a cold, rainy Saturday. But convince me to do it, and I might, So give me a price incentive. Same with, car washes, and there's a lot of car wash businesses in the area that if you're buying your chemicals. Don't plan on spring last year. You know, there's no way. You've had one of the best marches in 100 years last year. Awesome, awesome spring last year. So you're not going to need to buy as much inventory. So don't bulk up on that now. Let's wait and see,
what's gonna happen.
And be careful not to be stuck with a ton of, wash and soap that you won't need next year. So, reduce your inventory to, then because you'll have lower sales, but if you have a lower inventory, you can come out okay.
Right. So you're not caught. You don't have your cash flow caught up in your inventory.
The big thing, too, is just even print advertising. I mean, print advertising you can do as a small business, 1 or 2 weeks out. If you time that way, if you see there's a, intense warm period coming, that's a good time for promoting your product. If it's cold and rainy for the next 10 days, don't be talking about car washes or ice cream, the things that we're just not going to buy. So again, time your message in the right weather and you'll be much more successful.
Well, one of the things you had mentioned early on in the program is that we're going to see some cold coming up the next, around Christmas and probably between Christmas and New Year's, which is probably good that it's staying away till then because merchants that are not online, that physical stores, need the walking traffic. And if it gets too cold,
this time of year, again, it seems counterintuitive, but retailers do better in a milder, drier, no snowy December. Everyone thinks that they want cold and snow. You do not. I mean, it's all about gift sales, store traffic. If you think about a mild, 40, 50 degree night in Saucon mm-hmm. Valley strip malls, you'll go from store to store to store. And then if it's still mild out, you may go hit Lehigh Valley Mall, and then you'd go over to hit your strip center or maybe just a Walmart. You'll bounce around. Right. Whereas
right.
if it's a cold a couple of years ago, we had the brutal winters around Christmas time, you're going to go to Lehigh Valley Mall, get everything you need, or you're going to go online. And you're not going to go from who's going to fight the snow mounds and the parking lots and the roads. You're just not going to go from one store to another. So you'll trip consolidate is what will happen. And that hurts retail. They don't want that to happen because you'll go online.
Right.
You'll go to the mall.
Right.
This year, it's hopefully after Christmas is the big storm.
Well, then the after Christmas sales, maybe we'll get them.
Usually, retailers don't really care. Usually, at that point, stuff's 50, 60, 70% off. So it's all about up until Christmas is
right,
critical.
Right.
So far, so good. It's been that warm period, and actually being in December was great for store traffic.
And I've talked to a number of retailers who have said that this year has definitely improved over the last couple years from their standpoint. And, of course, the
parts economy, parts weather. Yep.
Yeah. How do we keep it going, or how do we prepare for what's coming next? We were joking a little bit out in the lobby before the show, and we were talking about the Mayan calendar, and Bill and John reminded me that it's already the 21st in Australia, and we're still here, so I guess everything is okay, right?
Mine didn't tell us what time on the 21st, so we're not out of the woods yet. 6:12 tomorrow morning is the first day of winter, so we still have a few more hours to live, or who knows what will happen tomorrow. I'm going to set my alarm for 6:13, so if it all goes happens bad,
I heard there's lots of parties going on tomorrow night for the end of the world parties.
Oh, geez.
Bring what you'd like for your last meal
and
share with friends.
No, I've got too much work to do. We can't do that. So as we look at 2013 from both of your perspectives, you've already given a hint. Take a look at the weather. Maybe use the mobile app to try and gauge your purchases, your sales, your advertising. Correct, Bill?
As a business owner, you're doing all those things. We're all being very cautious about how hiring. I just faced, as John mentioned, a healthcare 70% increase in healthcare costs. We've switched and done some changes. So all businesses are looking for that edge. You gotta, tighten the belt a little bit. Yes, we've had a good year, but you can never plan on. And retailers do that, unfortunately. Businesses, Wall Street does it, right? If it was phenomenal last year, it's going to be better next year. That's great to have that mindset, but you should have a plan. And our plan would be that you better be conservative with your – don't make the – I worked once with a water park, a small business. And again, they're not clients, but I just kind of helping them on the side. And
right.
One of the things was just, does he buy, hundreds of deck chairs, Well, no. This kind of summer is not that kind of year. Don't make a huge capital expenditure on – maybe you have lower sales, lower people, not as people, many people are going to go to Dorney Park this summer. Well, they probably shouldn't make a big, huge capital outlay if they knew this in advance. Now, if they don't know it, then they get stuck with, oh my gosh, we just spent $1 million on new whatever, and now
we
nobody's
have to pay
showing
for
up.
It.
And nobody's showing up.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because typical sales is that, you set a goal for this year and then you've got to go higher than that next year and then higher than that the following year. So what you're suggesting is that as we do our annual planning, take a look at the weather, take a look at the trends that are...
Well, we always, you know, Walmart does a phenomenal job with this. Again, they will actually plan down. You know, you can't, because you're going to get stuck in some case of a retailer. They're stuck with the inventory.
Right.
Their only way to get rid of it, because they don't want to carry it, to have it sit
mark
in a warehouse
down
all winter long for an air conditioner is astronomical cost. So they will mark it off 60, 70, 80% off. Great for you. I can predict right now that if you're a consumer wanting to get bargains, 2013 is your bargain year. There'll be too much spring merchandise. You will get product at 70, 80%. So my argument to the women out there that are going to buy, don't buy early, because it's likely to be an extremely cold March and not so good start to April. You'll get those same merchandise that you'd want to go out and buy in early March, probably at 30, 40% off by late March.
Okay, yeah. But then your advice to the business owner who is stocking is to stock less then, or?
Well, you can mix it up. Walmart will actually, if they know, for example, next year is a colder summer, they won't sell as much. Summer's still hot. Doesn't mean it's not going to be 85. It just means we may not have the 9,500 degree days.
Right. Really.
So they'll sell fans, but not air conditioners. So they change the mix. So instead of having, you know, $1 billion worth of air conditioners, they'll have, you know, 300 million worth of air conditioners and 700 million worth of fans. You'll still need some kind of air circulation in any summer.
Okay.
So they'll change
year.
The product.
Okay. John, how about your thoughts for, you know, as businesses and hopefully our business listeners, this is the time of year where we start to plan, or we've already started to do planning for what we're going to do in 2013. And any tips, any thoughts, any suggestions?
Well, we're seeing. I was just talking to our ad director before I came over, and a lot of people traditionally buy their ads for the future, for the coming year, the end of the previous year. And several clients are saying, you know, well, just hang on until January, and then we'll come back. You know, in the past, if you didn't get the ads early, then people already spent their budget, and you can't get them. So I think businesses are. Got burned enough the last couple of years. They're hanging on. Tread carefully. Like I said earlier, we were making slow but sure progress in several areas. But now, because of the uncertainty of what's going to happen soon, you know, it's best to, even though it hurts the business magazine in some ways, it's best to take it slow. I think better days are ahead. I think there'll be some fiscal sense coming. There has to be, and almost has to be. I guess I'm giving too much credit, maybe. So I think we'll see a better year. I think the Valley is growing in some areas, like Allentown is really growing. There's some great projects. All three cities.
Downtown Allentown is amazing these days.
Did you see the waterfront project now?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's coming. They are doing so much. It's phenomenal. But also Bethlehem and Easton. Somebody just bought, I told you about transactions, but the courthouse. Somebody just bought the property around our property on Elizabeth Avenue. They spent like $10 million, $8 million for like four parcels. Now that area is kind of like over by Moravian, and it's kind of been quiet, but somebody must have some plans or must think that Southside's really coming along. Of course, the downtown's been vibrant, so maybe the northern side's going to, their turn's coming more. So somebody has an idea that we're trying to find out why this company, they told our reporter they have no plans for it, but why would you spend millions of dollars if you have no plans for something? Unless right now the price is low and then you figure it's an investment. But it's like, but it's exciting. And Easton's been doing wonders too, and even the smaller communities. So there is growth here, and it really looked like the year has been good. So I think this area is doing better. Location plays a big part. So as long as we don't get the really awful weather and setbacks, you know, with the fiscal cliff and that, we're going to keep moving ahead.
So, and I should know this, but I don't. Fiscal cliff. I mean, obviously Congress is going to be taking their recess soon. When do they have? Is tomorrow the day that they've got to make the decision by?
They better not go too far, because this has to all be done by the 31st. I mean, for all these different pieces to fall into, to go back, you know, roll back into effect, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the 31st,
basically.
So it's like they can't afford to be. How do they get to go home when there's work to be done and we don't?
Yeah.
I'm still working.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Let's just share with our listeners in the last few minutes that we have, anything coming up? You're not publishing right now, John, correct? Your next issue is in January?
Our next issue is January 7th. However, I thought I had all this free time, but really when you think about the off days for holidays, it's like we're down to 5 days before we publish that one. We have our annual book of lists coming out, which is a big deal. It's really thick. It has like 100 different lists in different professions. It's a great source of information for business people who may want to sell. You find out who the contractors are. You find out who builders are. You find out the different professions, and gives you all kind of contact info. So it's great if you're looking to make connections in the business world. Some people use it for job searches. You can use it for alliances, for product, whatever. That's coming out Monday. And then we have 1 week off, 31st. And then the 7th, we come back, and it's going to be our first issue of the year. And it's going to be economic development, which is always a hot ticket down
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, Bill, from a weather trend standpoint, I mean, obviously the consumer site is a free site. But if somebody's interested in learning more about what's available and if they wanted to have services, how would they go about understanding?
Again, we have a weathertrends360business.com website. So it's the same WT360business.com site. That's a paid access. But, again, that gives you more of the statistical analysis of, again, even a small car wash, for example. I mean, you can go back and analyze how many people went through the car wash, right? It's not rocket science if you look at it and say, wow, that hot, dry July, I had, 10,000 cars go through there. Mm-hmm. My sales were great. Wow, that cold, wet July, I only had 5,000 cars go through there. I was 50% off. So then we can project, just knowing that math, to the business, right? So if it's a 5,000 cars or 10,000 cars, and then you can project the weather for July saying, well, it's more like it's in the middle of the two, so you'll do 7,500 cars. Mm-hmm. That's huge intelligence for even a small business to know, that's planning, right? I mean, that's what do I do to change my future? I'm going to advertise in the business journal in the months that are hot, maybe May, late April, May might be a one good period, so you want to make sure you get your ads in that business journal, Express Times, Meriden Call, get your message in the right weather. Now, instead of being up 7,500, maybe you're up 9,000. You get some lift from advertising. You always
Correct.
But time it in. You don't if it's a cold, rainy July, right? So find those few periods that are good, advertise, and you can blow out that weekend sales, and then you change your future. You can minimize the risk.
All right. Now, the real critical question is, we have a very special visitor coming on the 24th around midnight to a lot of the houses here in the Lehigh Valley. What is the prediction for his arrival?
Yeah, well, as you just said, it's the coldest start to winter, fall in Russia, 70 years. Germany has been frigid, Russia, Siberia. That air, it's interesting. Even Asia right now, China is frigid. There's a cycle called an AMO cycle. So when this happens, when it's that cold in Russia, that typically shifts over to us in weeks and month kind of time frame. So we're already seeing hints of it. So the good news is he's going to get this big, strong Arctic jet stream. So he's going to have a tailwind is what we're predicting.
Okay, so it'll be faster.
Rudolph probably, where he's going to go between the storms, right? We got the blizzard now in the Midwest, and we're going to have the blizzard after Christmas. So Rudolph can probably take a vacation here. I don't think we're going to need his nose with snowstorms this year. So I think Santa's going to do just fine this winter. Now, afterwards, you want to get home quick because the 27th and the 2nd are nor'easter periods. We want to watch those because the models, I don't even want to utter the words, it's in, more toward feet than inches. But typically we only get, we'd predict at least 3 to 6 inches, which would still be the snowiest December in a decade if we get 3 to 6 here.
Well,
the models are hinting in some cases maybe 18. We'll see.
Wow.
Doesn't it seem like to me that the snows that have shifted to like January, February, March when I was younger, it seemed like we'd get snow in November, December. Seems more like
well,
it's
but if again, we're so quick, human nature, we forget that just 2 years ago, you weren't here probably, 2 years ago, we had, 8, 9, 10 inches, 30 inches in New York City, right? I mean,
right.
Epic December
yes.
blizzards,
yes.
We've had those, the last few years, not last year, but so there's a chance,
Very interesting. Well, listeners, thanks so much for being with us tonight on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I want to thank Ray Schwab for his support, as always, being here to keep us on cue and keeping me on cue especially. I would want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, but I also want to say stay tuned because Rick Weaver is coming up with Celtic Fair. And please consider and endorse local public radio, WDIY, because we like to bring you what's current here in the Lehigh Valley. Everyone, have a good evening.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
You're listening to WDIY in Allentown, 88.1 FM and HD, listener-supported community public radio. That's WDIY at 88.1 FM in Allentown and Bethlehem, and on translators 93.9 in Easton and Phillipsburg, 93.7 in Fogelsville and Shrexfordtown, and on the World Wide Web at WDIY.org. The time right now is 6:59, rather. Stay tuned for Celtic Fair with your host, Rick Weaver.